Oh, there is some fine music. Boots Randolph and Marie on KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock CBS News time.
CBS News. Secretary of State Kissinger has arrived home following visits to Austria, West Germany, and Turkey. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Kissinger's plane landed early Saturday in Washington. The secretary's last diplomatic stop was Turkey, where he tried to gain concessions on the Cyprus dispute. There's no indication of progress on that, and the Turks may soon take action against the United States. At a refueling stop, Marvin Kell filed this report from Spain.
Kissinger left Turkey believing that time is running out and that soon Turkey will begin closing down American military and intelligence facilities. There are 27 of them in all, several, according to one high official, irreplaceable. The secretary, who flew into this base for refueling before returning to Washington, denied that there was any specific deadline, but he seemed to be implying that if the House of Representatives does not follow the Senate lead and end the embargo on American arms deliveries to Turkey, the Ankara government will act. There appears to be strong political backing in Turkey for closing down American bases. On the Cyprus problem, Kissinger thinks Turkey and Greece are moving towards one another, but political inhibitions in both countries may yet frustrate any kind of deal. Marvin Kell, CBS News, Torik on Spain.
President Ferdinand Marcos of the Philippines says that in the light of Indochina, he questions the need for continuation of U.S. military bases in his country. Marcos suggested that the U.S.-Philippines defense treaty may be a dead letter. More news in a moment.
Get America rolling. Roll on, America, roll. Get on Goodyear radios.
Big savings on Bigfoot, Goodyear's polysteel radial tire. Save 25% off the regular price on the tire that's built to keep its feet even in the rain.
Get on Goodyear radials. Save America, save.
Now through Tuesday at participating dealers and Goodyear service stores.
Roll on, America, roll.
Mrs. Karen Wolfson knows how to take care of herself.
If I have one of these headaches, I take the Anacin. There's something in it that works, whatever it is.
Right, Mrs. Wolfson. While all three leading pain relievers reach an effective level in your bloodstream in minutes, in the final analysis, only Anacin hits the highest level. This difference is the extra pain reliever Anacin provides.
I've always tried others, and I always go back to Anacin.
And millions take Anacin without stomach upset. Anacin, for a higher, higher, higher level of pain reliever. Take only as directed.
President Ford has indicated that he will add another $1 to the tariff on imported oil and may announce his decision within the next 2 days. The president wants to spur Congress to act on an energy bill. It's thought the higher tariff would add slightly more than 1 cent to gasoline prices. With gasoline-stingy imports taking a bigger share of the U.S. market, General Motors has announced plans to introduce a new subcompact car this fall. Few details were made public, but it's been reported the new GM compact would get up to 40 miles per gallon on the highway. The governor of California has acted to try to end the work boycott by anesthesiologists at California hospitals. A report from Mike Pulsifer of station KFBK, Sacramento.
California Governor Edmund Brown Jr. has signed legislation providing immediate reductions in medical malpractice insurance rates. The legislation is aimed at providing short-term insurance for anesthesiologists. The bill would provide such coverage for the next 7 months at a cost of between $1,000 and $2,000 per policy. It takes effect immediately. Brown signed the bill even though it does not carry out his often repeated need for fundamental reform of the malpractice system, a measure that includes 7 of the 9 proposals he urged lawmakers to consider when he called a special session of the legislature, is now working its way through the legislative process. He apparently decided to sign the stopgap measure to provide relief until the bill containing his proposals can be passed by both houses of the legislature and signed into law. Mike Pulsifer for CBS News, Sacramento.
Black comedian Moms Mabley died Friday night at a hospital in White Plains, New York at the age of 77. She was in show business over 60 years. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
The long Memorial Day weekend is underway, with millions of Americans taking to the highways to enjoy a three-day break. In addition to the usual urgings to drive safely, federal officials are also asking people to observe the nationwide 55-mile-an-hour speed limit to save gasoline. Late Friday night, three people were killed and four others injured in a head-on collision between two cars near Jeffersonville, Kentucky. Doug Poling, CBS News.
The Oregon House has approved a bill to make the legal age for getting married in Oregon 17 for both men and women. The age now is 15 for women and 18 for men. The bill goes back to the Senate for concurrence in House amendments. The Senate also approved a bill that would allow mutual savings banks to offer personal checking accounts, and it approved and sent to the House a bill to exempt home loans guaranteed by the federal government from interest limitations in Oregon's usury laws. Governor Bob Straub will conduct a conference after the legislature adjourns on state hiring and promotion of minority group members and women. The announcement was made at a rally in Salem today by Gladys McCoy, who manages liaison between the state government and the public. She said the conference will involve all the heads of state divisions and departments. The rally was staged by groups representing minorities, women, and others in support of a bill that is stalled in the Legislative Ways and Means Committee. The bill would authorize $150,000 for an affirmative action branch within the governor's office. Dr. Alan Wiles of Salem and Dr. Alan Clark of Portland have been appointed to the Oregon Board of Dental Examiners. Clark succeeds Dr. Gerald Wipshire of Portland, who resigned. His term will expire in April of 1977. Wiles was appointed to a 4-year term, replacing Dr. Joseph Morris, whose term expired. A Portland truck driver who was injured in a minor collision 3 years ago has won a $500,000 judgment on his claim that he continues to suffer what's called traumatic neurosis. 34-year-old Raymond Burrell Jr. had claimed the truck he was driving was hit from behind by one driven by Dean McManus and owned by Pacific Intermountain Express of Nevada. Burrell claimed the collision caused spinal and other injuries. He claimed he continues to suffer from extreme traumatic neurosis. The weather forecast for the Portland-Vancouver area calls for a chance of a few showers tonight and again tomorrow night. Otherwise, partial clearing at times through Sunday. Cooler nights with the lows in the upper 30s to low 40s, highs in the mid-60s. Northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rainfall, 40% tonight, 30% Saturday, and Saturday night. Right now, the temperature in downtown Portland stands at 47 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1108. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It is a generally accepted theory that no man is all good or all bad, that there is a mixture of both in all of us, that we are all, in some degree, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But is it possible that a man could be all evil, all selfish, all destructive, without a single saving grace? This is the study of such a man.
Lord, will the old goat never die?
The bishop... he's dead. He asked for you at the last. Did you hear me, Clark?
I hear you. Of course I did.
And now, by heaven, you're going to hear me. Asked for me, did he? A slavering old hypocrite.
Clark.
He could no more stand the sight of me than I of him. But now he's gone and there's nothing to stop me. The estate is mine. The money is mine. Now I can rock the rafters, the seven deadly sins, the Ten Commandments. I'm going to commit all the first, and I'll break all the second. I'm going to cut such a swath, the devil himself will envy me.
Our mystery drama, Markheim, Man or Monster, was suggested by the Robert Louis Stevenson classic and was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Kevin McCarthy. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, I'm Burl Ives. You know, I've been telling you that Uncle Ben's long grain and wild rice is a wonderful way to make an ordinary meal a great meal, and to keep a great meal from becoming ordinary. That's because it's a delicious combination of Uncle Ben's rice, natural wild rice, herbs, and seasonings. It has a really distinctive taste just about every grown-up loves. But what about those everyday family meals? Well, now Uncle Ben's has a way to make them special, too. With Uncle Ben's new fast-cooking long grain and wild rice, it's flavored with a delicious but milder blend of herbs and seasonings. So it has a milder taste. It cooks in just 5 minutes. So it's easy to serve anytime. With anything, chicken, hamburgers, whatever's on the family menu. So try Uncle Ben's new 5-minute fast-cooking long grain and wild rice. The whole family will love its milder taste.
What do you want most from your dining out? Atmosphere? Personal service? At the Captain's Corner, dining out is all this and more. The Captain's Corner, downtown in the Century Tower building, has a knack for pleasing people, and the service is warm and friendly. So if it's lunch, dinner, or a beverage in the lounge, come enjoy the pleasant way you're treated at the Captain's Corner, inside the Century Tower building on Southwest 12th between Jefferson and Main, with free parking.
If you're looking for a job, you have 1,200 people waiting to help you. They work for the largest employment agency in the state of Oregon. Last year alone, they put more than 73,000 people to work. They're the Oregon State Employment Service, and they work for you, for free. So if you need a job, or if you're looking for someone who needs a job, remember this. To find a job or fill one, call Job Service at your Oregon State Employment Service.
I'm going to cut such a swath that the devil himself will envy me. These explosive words from the tall young man who had waited so long for his great uncle to die shook the man who had brought the news, Dr. John Devlin. In stunned disbelief, he looked at the handsome young man still in his 30s, whom he loved as a son, while memory raced quickly through his head.
I've known Karl Markheim all his life. I should. I brought him into the world. Perhaps what I should be saying is I thought I had known him. Oh, I realize that beneath the dark, Byronic beauty of his physical presence and his magnetic charm, he was lazy and shiftless and frequently arrogant. But since his parents' death, I had stood in loco parentis to him and accepted his faults as any parent eventually must do with a grown man. And yet, till this moment, I had failed to realize the ugly evilness that lurked deep within him. Karl, control yourself. The house is full of mourners who loved and respected the great man we have just lost. Come with me quickly into the library so you can get hold of yourself.
Oh, I can control myself, Uncle John.
If I could keep myself in hand, swallow my bile all those years I had to scratch for handouts, how easy do you think it's going to be for me now that I'm king of the hill?
Karl, boy, save some pity and sorrow for the poor old man. He was your great uncle.
He was the family nemesis. He sat on the estate in the money, pontificating on the virtues of frugality and self-denial, refusing my father his share, hounding him into mediocrity, turning him into a fawning dog, killing him in the end. And my mother with him, may he rot in hell.
The bishop.
Well, then, in heaven, wherever he chooses, or wherever he was led, all I care for is that at last he is dead and I am alive and free. Oh, come. Come, Uncle, let's start the festivities.
I follow my foster son from the room, my old legs unable to keep up with the vigorous stride of his younger ones. I watch him pass among the guests, a perfect picture of subdued grief and compassion. His tall figure above everyone as he moves through the crowd of mourners towards the Childers family, oldest and dearest friends of Carl's father and mother. And I cannot believe it, watching him now. The thoughts that he has put into words in front of me.
Carl, my dear boy, my deepest condolences.
Thank you, Mr. Childers.
I'm sorry, too, Carl. I wish there was something I could do to help.
Thank you, Grace. But it had to come eventually, didn't it?
As it must to all men. And women, too, I suppose.
Well, never to you, Mrs. Childers. You look like Grace's sister.
Oh, now, there's the wildest of compliments from a young man to a woman teetering on the edge of her prime.
Now, that's true enough, madam, that you are in your prime, but far from the edge.
You are very gallant.
And you are very out of key for such a solemn occasion, Gertrude.
Oh, I'm sorry, Winston. I certainly didn't mean to say or do anything inappropriate.
When will the actual internment be, Carl?
Oh, I'm afraid I'll have to ask Uncle John. He can tell you exactly what's planned.
Oh, hello there, Dr. Devlin.
Mr. Childers. Mrs. Childers, Grace.
How do you do?
Always a pleasure to see you, Dr. Devlin, even under these most unhappy circumstances.
I've got to get a breath of air, Grace. You want to join me on the balcony?
Oh, yes.
Will you excuse us for a moment? Uncle John, I leave everything in your charge. I've got to get away, and Grace has been kind enough to offer to accompany me.
Now, just a moment. I think
we should let the young people have a moment alone to gather themselves together, as the rest of us must plan to do.
Well, of course, darling, if you think so.
You'll excuse us, then.
By all means.
Oh, look, Carl. There's a full moon.
Lover's moon. Strange thing to have to equate with death.
I can't imagine death. I can't even think how it might be.
Well, how could you? 18.
19. Almost 20.
You growing up so soon, little Grace.
I have been grown up for some time. And let's not go through any of that old routine about how you used to dangle me on your knee.
Didn't I?
Well, if you did, I was either much too old or you much too young. Hmm. How old are you, anyway?
Older than the pyramids.
What?
Before my great-uncle died. Now, I've dropped a decade like a snake sloughs his skin. I'm back to my 20s, not my 30s.
Oh, I wish you really believed that. Carl, I've been in love with you all my life. I wish you could see me as a woman.
Grace, my dear.
Carl, excuse me, but the undertakers are here. I think you ought to be with us to make the arrangements.
Just call me Angel, Grace. The angel of death. As presumptive heir, I must spread my wings and fly to sit and hatch the golden eggs with all due pomp and ceremony.
Oh, I'd love to call you Angel. But for very different reasons. And now you can afford a wife.
You know, you are a very forward little minx. And, an attractive one.
Carl! How are you coming?
Oh, I wouldn't miss it for the world, Uncle John. I can't wait to be in at that death.
I'm very displeased with you, Gertrude.
Are you, Winston, dear? What about this time?
Grace, sending her off with that great Markheim.
You disapprove of young Markheim as a husband for Grace?
Well, he's not young.
Well, he's in his 30s, young enough, and now gloriously rich.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, my dear, but as family lawyer, I happen to have drawn the bishop's will. The entire estate goes to the church, except for a small pittance to his grandnephew.
Oh, no. Oh, look at Grace, the way she looks at him. You can see she adores him. And, well, she does have money of her own.
On which, as long as I have any say about it, he'll never lay a finger.
Shh. They're coming this way.
I'm returning your daughter to you, safe and sound. If you'll excuse me, I understand the undertakers are here and I shall be needed.
Then we'll go.
Grace, you and your mother go home. I shall stay for the reading of the will.
So soon?
If you prefer to wait?
No, by all means. Let's have anything pleasant that we can on this unfortunately dreary occasion. I shall make all due haste to have the bishop transported to the mortician so that he can robe and prepare him for his lost retreat.
Carl! Oh, forgive me, Mr. and Mrs. Childers, but Carl, you're keeping us waiting.
If you'll excuse me.
Quite all right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Uncle John. I didn't realize that the old boy was in that much of a hurry. I don't believe it. Everything. The estate, this house, all the money to the church.
You heard the will?
I'll contest it. I'll drag it through every court.
Now, easy, Carl, easy. He left you a yearly allowance.
£1,000 a year? Well, that's not enough to keep me in cigars.
I think the bishop had it in mind that it was high time for you to start earning your own living.
Don't you look down your nose at me, you pompous fat.
Carl, control yourself.
It's quite all right, Dr. Devlin. I can well understand Markheim's disappointment. But time will accustom him to his new status in life. The will entitles him to stay on for 6 months in the house. It will take that long to clear probate anyhow.
He'll never clear probate. I'll contest.
That's your election. But let me warn you, Markheim. I drew this will, and it's ironclad. You can't break it.
Ah.
Besides, it'll cost money to contest. And it seems that's what you have, in your own words, very little of. Good day, gentlemen.
Oh, good day, Mr. Childers.
Oh, that fat, supercilious, vulgar little...
Carl, will you stop it? I can't bear to see you like this.
You mean as I really am?
No, I won't believe that of you.
Then watch me find a way to cut him down to size.
You can't, Carl. You have no power to change what is.
Oh, you think not? You think not? When one has no scruples and long ago buried his conscience, anything and everything is possible. Now stop looking so scandalized. Is the naked truth more than your Victorian morals can bear?
Oh, I'm so glad you came to dinner, Carl.
Well, how could I refuse? Except that your father wasn't quite so happy.
Oh, Dad'll come around. Mother and I will see to that. I can't think why he's taken this sudden turn against you.
I'll tell you why. It's because of the will. My beloved great-uncle has left me practically penniless.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Oh, my poor darling. Oh, but you, with your wonderful brain and all your connections, you can find a way to be as rich as you want to be.
Well, it takes time, and I don't get any younger.
Oh, you'll never look old.
I adore you, my darling. I have all my life watching, waiting for you to grow up. To be old enough to ask you to be... Well, it's all impossible now.
What's impossible? For us to be married? Just because you haven't much money? Well, I have more than enough for both of us. Mine, that my uncle left me. Oh, darling, if that's all that stands between us... Kiss me, and we'll be married as soon as it's decent.
No, sir. Never will I give my consent. You'll never get either my daughter or her money.
When she's 21,
I know your staying power. You'll never wait that long. You and my daughter will never be married.
I wouldn't be so sure of that, Mr. Childers. I promise you that I'll give you cause to regret your attitude before all is done between us.
Oh, my darling, I love you so. Mm. If this is the only way, then I'm not ashamed.
Mm.
I'll be proud.
It's the only way, and I promise you, you won't be sorry.
How can I ever be sorry for loving you?
You poisonous scoundrel! Is this true, Grace?
Yes, Father.
You're going to have his baby? How long?
I'm in my fourth month.
Lord, no.
It would seem, Mr. Childers, that after all, a marriage has been arranged.
Without scruples or conscience, anything is possible. It would seem that Karl Markheim's statement is right. Let's see his score so far. Of the seven capital sins, he has committed all but perhaps envy and gluttony. And he's only beginning to break the commandments. Can he reach his goal? I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Exactly right. When sinus flares up with congestion and pain, insist on sign-off tablets. Sign-off delivers a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off helps sinus pain while you drain. Use only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Have you had a cold or the flu, or been to the doctor recently? When you next see your doctor, ask him to write any prescription he gives you in generic terms instead of brand names. I'm Virginia Nauer, President Ford's consumer advisor. Generic is the common name for a drug instead of a brand name, and generic drugs often cost less. For more information on generic drugs, write to Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Hey, when's the last time you made a wish?
I wish I could get an A in geometry.
I wish for a place to live.
I wish I was in Omaha with my grandmother and grandpa.
Wishing is very important, you know.
I think I wish for all the children in the world to be well and healthy and have enough to eat.
I wish I could lose 100 pounds.
I wish I had a bike.
My wish is for good health.
Wishing means you hope for better things.
I wish we could find solutions to the crime problem.
I wish that we win every soccer game in our league.
I wish, and I really wish, the price of food would go down.
If you want hope, you've got to make a wish.
If I have one wish, it's to understand my children.
I wish that everything works out between my boyfriend and me.
I just wish for a job.
I wish all the lost children would come home to their fathers.
Because without a wish, there can be no hope.
Yeah, I wish there were more love and truth and less loneliness in the world.
From the Franciscans, with love.
A marriage was arranged, and young Grace Childers became Karl Markheim's willing bride. If some people thought it was a little close after the bishop's death, most people felt that Carl had waited long enough to take the step. The church was gracious also. For a promised yearly contribution, they granted the use of the Markheim house and grounds. To people at large, only one thing was any different in this marriage, and that was that the newlyweds did not take their honeymoon immediately following the wedding.
How is Grace, Uncle John?
In perfect health. She'll make a wonderful mother. I have something to say about your wife's pregnancy.
What's that?
It's starting to show. Fortunately, however, there is a remedy.
What are you suggesting?
That you take your wife on an extended honeymoon in Europe. Let's say a year's visit at least. By the time you return, there'll be no embarrassment for anyone.
Well, it's impossible. I don't have any money.
Your wife would be glad to lend it to you.
No, except that starched shirt that she calls Papa has managed to sew it up legally, and the estate won't give me an advance.
Very well, I'll arrange it somehow. I'll talk to Mr. Childers. Do you love that girl you married?
You're the only one I'll give the truth. You see my reflection in the mantelpiece mirror. With this reflection, I'm happy to realize I'm breaking two commandments at once.
What do you mean?
The first and the second. Thou shalt have no other god but me, and thou shalt not make for yourself a graven image. There is my graven image in the mirror, Uncle John. Myself. What I love first before any...
What is it?
Who is he? I can't see him clearly.
How do you...
Who did you bring with you?
I bring... What are you talking about?
Behind you.
Over your shoulder. I saw it in the mirror, a face.
There's no one behind me. We're all alone.
But when I turned to the mirror, I can't...
I can't see what, Carl?
Nothing. There's nothing there. No. Whew, I guess perhaps I've been too busy indulging the sixth of the seven deadly sins, gluttony, in my case, the bottle. Leaving only envy.
You know something, Carl? I think you need this trip as much as that dear little wife of yours does. I think it might be the best hope for both of you. I'll talk to Childers and show him that without it, there'll be the devil to pay for all of you.
I respect your opinion, Dr. Devlin, and I applaud your belief that there is one decent streak somewhere in that young blackguard's makeup. That I'll do everything legally in my power to keep his hands off my daughter's money.
But it is her money.
She's not of age.
She's married and having a child. It seems to me age is irrelevant.
What is irrelevant is my husband, Dr. Devlin. He's a century behind his times. Which is exactly why he's going to release Grace's money and stay out of this.
Gertrude, I don't want you interfering.
There are a lot of things you don't want, Winston, but I'm not going to stop to listen to them because it might take weeks. Now, you don't want to look like a fool. You don't want to be embarrassed among our acquaintances.
What are you talking about?
Well, you would call it your daughter's good name. I call it a spade. Your good name. Your reputation. Carl and Grace will have a child less than 5 months after they're married. If they have it here, you'll be a laughingstock. If they return a year, 2 years from now, for an extended trip on the continent, who's to say what age the child is? And your reputation will be salvaged. As well as your daughters. You have no choice.
She had cut to the heart of the matter. And Childers had to give in. Grace got her money and Carl and she their honeymoon. If that's the proper name for it. I made a trip to France myself to deliver the baby. Which I'm sad to say was fruitless. Since the child was born dead. Now, you mustn't take it so hard, Grace. It was no one's fault.
Perhaps.
I can assure you medically it was sheer unfortunate accident. It was better, actually, this child didn't live. But that doesn't mean you can't have as many more as you want.
As I want?
Yes.
The problem isn't me, Dr. Devlin. It's what Carl wants.
Well, Grace, after I've talked to him...
Can you talk to him is the question. Can anyone talk to him?
What is it, my dear? You can confide in me.
No. No, I won't say anything against my husband. I still love him, God help me. He can't seem to help Carl. Maybe you are the only one who can.
It was a sordid, sickening tale I learned from acquaintances and friends that Grace had made before I faced Carl himself. In the last months of her pregnancy, he seemed to have gone berserk, leaving her for days at a time, staggering home only to sober up, leaving again for his... women who were legion, his wine glass, which was always in his hand, his gambling, which was prodigious and disastrous. And yet, when I met him again, to outward looks, he seemed to thrive on his degeneracy. I found him at a bar, sitting on a stool facing the mirror, a glass of cognac in hand. What are you doing here, Carl?
Oh, what else, Uncle John? Celebrating the birth of a new era, Carl Markheim, father. Don't tell me the blessed event has arrived.
Your baby was born dead.
Thank God.
What?
Karash. There goes another commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Third, isn't it? And today is Sunday, so that does away with number four, too.
Are you mad, drinking at a bar while your wife lies mourning in the hospital, mourning your lost child? And more than that, I expect.
Lost love that never was.
But there is enough more lost. I'm broke, Uncle John.
Cleaned out?
No love. No child. No money.
You've gone through all Grace's money in less than 6 months.
Wine, women, and the little clicking ball.
At least you still have your $1,000 a year.
Oh, no. No, no. That's mortgage, too.
Very well, let's not discuss it here. Come, we'll get to the hospital and pick up Grace, and I'll see that all of you get home.
Wait a minute.
Now, what is it now?
You see, between us and behind us in the mirror, he's waiting. He's always waiting. He will not let me go.
There's no one there, Carl.
Not when you turn around, but I haven't the courage for that anymore. In case he might be.
All right, then, I'll prove it to you. I'll turn you. There. Do you see anyone?
No.
Then let's be on our way. I was desperately worried about Carl, of course. But in the few days before we left France, he seemed to dry out satisfactorily. Grace and he had a tearful reunion, and with our return to London, he appeared to take hold of himself. Grace and he seemed to have found some working arrangement, and I hesitated to interfere further. If only I hadn't.
Not one penny.
But, Winston, if our daughter is actually starving...
She can come home where she belongs.
I love him. And we are not all that helpless.
Really? Without money, what do you intend to live on? Markheim's wits? They haven't been very successful so far.
That period of his life is past. He is working now.
At what?
He's investing.
Without money? That's quite a trick.
Well, he'll raise the money. He has assured me of that.
How?
Well, we still have the house, the furniture. We can sell those and get smaller quarters.
Sell the house and the Gertrude?
Yes, Winston?
Perhaps I am too hard on Markheim. Money I can't give him. But maybe I can put him in the way of being very rich. Where is he, Grace?
Downstairs, in the carriage.
Well, tell him I'll talk with him.
Oh, yes, Papa.
Winston, what are you up to?
What I'm up to is none of your business, Gertrude. I won't pretend to have any love for you, Markheim, and I've no money to lend you. But for my daughter's sake, I will allow you this one last chance.
The name of the stock?
Southern Rhodesian Rand. You see how much of it I'm holding. Every share I could afford.
And you're sure it's a bonanza?
Markheim, I'm their lawyer. They've discovered the greatest motherlode of gold since the Comstock in America.
Ooh.
It'll make millionaires of us.
Is there stock available?
Yes, still. I can arrange that for you through my broker. Strictly cash. After Monday, when the news will break, there won't be a share left. You've 3 days left. Remember, things will be closed.
I'll have the money before then, by hook or by crook. Good morning, Mr. Ross.
Who is... Oh, it's you, Markheim. Well, what is it this time?
The usual, my frugal and parsimonious friend. I am in need of cash. Only for a matter of days, however.
Is? And what is the security?
The entire contents of my mansion. A treasure house.
What is a few days?
You shall have it back the Monday after Easter Sunday.
Well, it can do no harm to look. I shall be at your house by 2 this afternoon.
Then we have an agreement?
Softly, softly. First, let's let the cat out of the bag. I do not intend to buy a pig in a poke.
Carl?
Yes, Grace?
Did you get them?
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Oh,
5,000 shares at £2 apiece. Oh. By Monday or Tuesday, it'll be past 100 pounds and climbing. We're rich, Grace. Oh. Rich for the rest of our lives.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad. Particularly since it's all thanks.
No thanks from me. It was for you he did it. If this stock should fail me.
Oh, but it won't. Not his papa.
Yes, said thank
this.
Heaven I have that security. He's holding as much of it as I am.
Then try to forgive and forget. Carl, come to the country with us for an old-fashioned Easter. And let's be a real family at last.
No, damn it. I couldn't stomach it. I'll make a bargain. You go up to them and I'll join you on Sunday. I'm quite sure one day will be all your father and I can stand of each other.
Carl? Oh, Carl, thank God I found you at home.
Gertrude.
Oh, my poor darling.
Gertrude, what is it? Something happened to Grace.
No. They've left for the country, but I had to see you the first moment he was gone. The stock. Is it true you bought it?
Oh, yes, but what?
Oh, Lord, what are you going to do? He's ruined you. The stock you bought was his. He swindled you into buying it.
Swindled me?
Yes. The company is bankrupt. Those certificates you hold are not worth the paper they're written on.
Markheim stares at Gertrude in utter incredulity. Then, as he turns in a fury to slam his fist against the wall, there, in the hall mirror, he sees his reflection and Gertrude's. And behind them, smiling with an almost satanic glee, the face of the man who taunts and haunts him. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
Of things like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way, but then nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world, but it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no one but one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for... You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
The sight of that tantalizing mirror image, his eyes misted by the red blood of frustrated fury, Carl Markheim whirls back towards Gertrude. Frozen into immobility at the door, hands in front of him, fingers curled as if to choke and strangle, he moves toward her until suddenly she cries out,
Carl!
What? What?
Oh.
Oh, it's you. Oh, for a moment I thought... Now! Oh, he's gone again.
Who?
My name is... Doesn't matter. Come. Come, let's go inside. I need a drink.
For a moment, I thought you were going to strangle me.
Not you. Him.
Winston.
Who? Oh, him. No, no. No, well, if he were here and if what you say is true, I might have.
It's true. You can pour me a drink, too. I almost wish he had been here.
Here's your drink.
Thank you.
To oblivion. Strangling's too good for him, if you'll excuse the expression.
I'll even drink to it. I'm the one who's had to live with him the last 25 years. Carl, is there nothing you can do?
Nothing. Except try to devise a way to hit him where it hurts for the longest time possible.
I know a way.
How?
No. Oh. No, I couldn't do that to Grace. She is my daughter.
No, there's little you could do to Grace that I haven't done already. Or that I'm not now committed to do. I don't own any of this furniture or the house I pledged. I'll land in jail. Now I am a thief. That's number 8. I've come pretty close to fulfilling my prophecy.
What prophecy? What is number 8?
Number 8 is thou shalt not steal. Ah, the other doesn't matter.
You don't love Grace, do you? You never have.
That's right. Even before this, I had nothing left to offer her. It would have been kinder if I could have found some way to kill her love for me, but apparently I can't.
Give me another drink.
All right.
You used to consider me a very good-looking woman. Was that one of your lies, or did you mean it?
Oh, that I meant.
Which brings up the subject of number 9.
What?
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Or have you broken that?
No. Nor, as it happens, have I broken number 7.
Adultery. It's the first thought that ever crossed my mind when I first met you.
It was in mine, too.
Grace and Winston are already in the country. I'm not driving out till tomorrow with Dr. Devlin. The one single thing that would most devastate Winston is to be cuckolded. Gracie'd never know. But depend on it, I would let him know.
By heaven, Gertrude, it's almost worth it all for this moment.
What is it, Papa?
The bridge is down. Those damn spring rains. We can't make it before dark. We'll have to go back. Carboy! Oh!
Papa?
Yes?
As long as we won't be at Grandfather's tonight and Mama's with Aunt Hilda, let's drive straight to my house. You can spend the night and I'll make supper for all of us.
Well, I don't think your husband would welcome my presence.
Oh, nonsense. Now that you've made him rich...
That hasn't happened yet.
Oh, but it's going to by Monday.
Yes, Monday is going to be a red-letter day for Mr. Carl Markheim. All right. It's almost dark. We'd better hurry.
I can't understand where Carl could be. Oh, thank you for carrying up my bag, Papa. I'll just put it on my bed.
Good Lord.
Mama. Oh, no.
Well, Gertrude, it seems we won't have to tell your husband after all.
I'd never have believed it, Carl. I could believe every rotten thing about you but this. Why, you've broken Grace's heart and destroyed the marriage of my friend and your father.
I broke Grace's heart a long time ago. She's lucky to be free at last. As for your friend and my father's
friend...
Oh, yes, friend...
Gertrude told me what he'd done to you. And I was ready to bail you out until this last unconscionable act. I now want you to know that I'm through with you forever. You have lost the last friend you have.
Except one.
Who?
My shadow, whoever he is. Well, Uncle John, there's one thing you have to say for me. I keep my word.
How?
Well, I said I'd commit every deadly sin and break every holy commandment. I've only one to go. And that I'll take care of tomorrow.
It's all right. I'm coming. I'm coming. I might have known you, Markheim. Who else would have the gall? Easter Sunday. Well, come in, come in. You know I'm alone and that I make a point of refusing business on a holy day.
I come to buy, not to sell. I seek an Easter present for a lady which I must present tonight.
Well, so be it. You're an old customer, so let's see. Now, here's a pretty thing, this hand glass. 15th century, see? How clear it mirrors.
Too clear. I see him all too plain. Look here, do you see him?
Well, I see my own reflection.
Let me look again. No. There he still is. By God, I'll be rid of him at last.
Now, there's an unkind, unseemly thing to do, to destroy so wantonly.
And here is an even unkinder.
You stabbed me. Why?
Because I came here to complete an old vow and start a new life. Where do you keep your money?
Money? No. Help me. I'm dying.
Die, then. I picked up the guttering candle. I wanted to flee to the safety of my bed, but I've done the deed and must reap the profit. I moved about, pocketing whatever I could find of value, all the time my mind racing, telling me I should have chosen a quiet hour, arranged an alibi, not have used a knife that belonged to me. That made me move towards the corpse to pull it free. And then I saw the keys. There was money. Much money. Enough money to save me, hidden somewhere in this house. I must find it. Perhaps an hour later, I was upstairs, ransacking the place desperately, when the voice spoke.
You are looking for the money, I believe.
I whirled. It was him. My mirror haunt, at last, face to face in life. He seemed commonplace enough, and his voice was kind and gentle. I tried to answer, but none would come. I was frozen.
You know, you have long been a favorite of mine. I have long observed you, as you were aware, and often sought to help you.
What are you? The devil?
What I may be cannot affect the service I propose to render you.
No, never. Not by you. You do not know me yet.
Oh, I know you. I know you to the soul.
Know me? How can you know me? My life is a travesty and a slander on myself. I've lived to belie my own nature as all men do.
Very feelingly expressed. But time flies. Shall I help you? I, who know all. Shall I tell you where to find the money?
For what price?
No, I offer you the service as an Easter gift.
No. No, thank you. I take nothing directly at your hands. It may seem incredulous from all I've done, but I still cannot commit myself to hell.
Why must you doubt that I have any heart? I was once an angel, too, you must remember. The devil. Why must all men mistake my purpose? I am here to try you, not to enslave you and drag you down into the pit.
Oh, that's not necessary in my case. I drag myself down.
Because the devil is an illusion. I am all men. I dwell in all. It is you who seek me, not I you. Now, shall I show you the money?
And mercy? Forgiveness? Salvation?
Have you ever tried or asked for it?
The maid. She's returned.
Oh, that needn't be no impossible fence to climb. You would open the door, tell her that you are the doctor who came because her master was taken ill quite suddenly. Once you have the girl inside and the door closed with the same dexterity as you dispatched the old man, you dispatch her. Then you have the rest of the day and night to ransack the house for the money. If you do not wish my help...
This crime was to be my last. Today, out of this deed, I meant to pluck both warning and riches and a fresh resolve to be my real self.
Your life hangs trembling in the scales. You cannot keep her waiting or she will rouse the whole neighborhood. Up, my friend, and act.
As a man in a dream, I passed down the stairs, my hand on the dagger hilt beneath my cloak. For a moment, I stopped by the door to look in a large Venetian glass. It reflects me, Karl Markheim, alone. Alone, I stand fixed. And then the bell once breaks out into an impatient clamor. You better go for the police, miss. I have just murdered your master.
The devil is an illusion. He lives in all of us. And no one can conquer him, but our assassin Karl Markheim took a long and bitter road to learn. But then, salvation is never bought easily. I'll be back shortly.
Old age. It should be a time of harvest. But all too often in these days of high prices and fixed incomes, when city life can be overwhelming and when everything's moving faster, just when you feel like moving slower, it's grow old. And most does, you know. Red Cross has many programs to help the elderly. Red Cross volunteers, for instance, drive senior citizens to the doctors or Social Security. Our youngsters help in senior citizen centers.
Mrs. Martin, can I get you another cup of tea?
In many areas, Red Cross volunteers work in Meals on Wheels programs for older people. In fact, whatever the problem, your local Red Cross is there to help. Call us. If you can give help, call us. Either way, we need you. Because it's a cold world out there.
In the end, we return to our original question. Is there any such thing as a man who is all evil without a single saving grace? Markheim came close, but in the end, he reached, as all of us, for salvation. For once not asking, but offering himself as sacrifice to the mercy of God, or perhaps the devil within him. So, with a lift of hope, we end our tale. The image of God dwells within us, too. There is some small kernel of good, at least, in all of us. Our cast in Evan McCarthy, Grace Matthews, Rosemary Rice, Guy Sorrell, and Ian Martin. The entire press under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Oh, I thought he lived here.
Hello. So he does, in a sort of way.
I think it's time that we told the boy the truth, Sean, as best we can.
Yes. Well, you had a long look at Uncle Terence. You wouldn't forget it.
Oh, no, never.
Look behind the picture and make sure...
Yes, he's back again. Now, come here. You see this portrait, Brian? Now, would that be Uncle Terence?
Oh, yeah. That's him. That's him to the life.
You're not exactly. The gentleman you are looking at has been dead these 35 years.
What?
The only problem is that he won't stay decently in his grave.
Bright and beautiful music comes your way from midnight to 6... World and National News on the Hour with CBS. Chuck Knopf has local news. From KOIN in Portland, my name is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. Have a lovely weekend. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. More Americans have been airlifted out of Laos, where U.S. officials say the situation is troubled and uncertain. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. 159 women and children, dependents of U.S. personnel in Laos, arrived Friday night in Bangkok, Thailand, aboard two planes. Anti-American sentiment in Laos continues to run high.
The State Department says police are interfering with U.S. citizens in Vientiane, searching their autos as they leave an American housing compound. There are about 750 Americans still in Laos, most of them with the U.S. Agency for International Development. The Laotian government is said to want to terminate the aid program, but wants to continue to receive money from the United States. More news in a moment. Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. President Ford may soon take action to try to spur Congress to approve an energy program, the president told a group of foreign journalists in Washington.
I'm going to make a decision in the next 48 hours as to whether or not I will increase by $1 the import levy on foreign oil. The Congress has failed very badly. They have done literally nothing affirmatively to solve our energy problem.
It's thought the extra tariff would mean more than a 1 cent increase in retail gasoline prices. New car sales continue to be on the soft side, the latest figures reported by Bill Kernow of station WJR Detroit.
Big Four car sales fell nearly 28% to a 14-year low in mid-May. But despite the continued sales slump, the car makers are gearing up production for the coming week. All 58 of their car and truck assembly plants will be in operation, and that will be the first time that has happened since early last November. General Motors sales for the middle of May were down 31% from last year. Ford was off nearly 20%. American Motors reported a 14% decline. And despite a $200 rebate campaign on its small cars, Chrysler reported its sales fell by 30% over last year. Usually, car sales increase sharply in spring, but so far there has been no sign of the traditional spring upturn. Bill Kernow for CBS News, Detroit.
General Motors Friday announced plans to introduce this fall the smallest car built in America. GM also said its mini car will give the best gasoline mileage of any car built in this country. It's reported the new compact will get around 40 miles to a gallon. Secretary of State Kissinger will go to the White House in the morning to brief President Ford on his six-day trip to Europe. Kissinger arrived back in Washington a couple of hours ago. The secretary will be off to Europe again Monday, accompanying President Ford to Brussels for a NATO conference. The government of Holland has tentatively approved the American F-16 as its new fighter plane. The Dutch government says its selection is contingent on agreement by all four countries in a purchasing consortium. The other three are Norway, Belgium, and Denmark. Belgium is thought to be leaning towards selection of a new French-built Mirage jet fighter. If General Dynamics gets the deal, it could be worth about $2 billion. This is being called the arms deal of the century. CBS News continues in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing the newest bicentennial weekend special with CBS News correspondent Charles Carrault.
Did you know there were a lot of bells called the Liberty Bell? The story of the one that survived is fascinating.
You'll hear it on Exploring America 1776, A journey through the side roads of the revolution with CBS News correspondent Charles Carrault, May 24th and 25th on the CBS Radio Network.
Dave Beck, the former head of the Teamsters Union, has won a pardon from President Ford, wiping out Beck's conviction more than 15 years ago on income tax evasion charges. Beck, who is now 80, had served about a year in prison in the 1959 case. He says he's pleased with the pardon because it restores full citizenship rights, including the right to vote. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In news of Oregon and the Northwest, searchers have found three Portland climbers in a snow cave on Mount Hood where they spent last night. Clackamas County Sheriff's deputies said the three, who were cold but otherwise unharmed, were 45-year-old Richard Ivey, 32-year-old Judy Galantha, and 30-year-old Vicki Nissen. They had planned to climb the mountain Thursday morning and return later in the day, but they were stranded at the 9,000-foot level by a storm. The Oregon Senate has approved a bill to let voters register on the day of a statewide election or to register by postcard up to 30 days before an election. Voters now must register in person at least 30 days before an election. The bill now goes to the House. The Oregon Court of Appeals heard oral arguments yesterday afternoon and may rule by next week on when members of the Oregon State Employees Association can strike against the state. The association has declared its intention to strike if the state doesn't provide the 27% increase in wages and benefits recommended by the fact-finding panel. The association is appealing a ruling by the Public Employee Relations Board that state employees cannot strike until their present contract expires June 30th. The Oregon House has approved a bill that would provide state employees with increases averaging 24% in a new contract, but the bill providing $21 million less than requested by Governor Robert Straub would require state agencies to leave 1,000 jobs vacant during the next 2 years. Both Straub and the Oregon State Employees Association expressed dissatisfaction with the action by the Oregon House. A representative of a faculty committee has objected to what he says as de-emphasis on studies in the humanities at Oregon State University in Corvallis. Stanley Shively made that statement in Corvallis about recent comments by University President Robert McVicker. Shively teaches sociology and is chairman of the policy committee of the College of Liberal Arts. McVicker said the emphasis at the university should be on science and technology. A Law Enforcement Assistance Administration has granted more than $1.25 million to the Portland and Sheriff's Dispatch Center at Kelly Butte in Portland. The funds will be used for the installation of a computer-assisted dispatching system. In sports, Rick Barry pumped in 38 points last night as the Golden State Warriors downed the Washington Bullets 109-101 and taking a 3-0 lead in the NBA Championship Series last night at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. The series now shifts to Landover, Maryland for Sunday's fourth game. No team has ever managed to overcome a 3-0 deficit. The weather outlook for Portland, Vancouver calls for a chance of a few showers mainly this morning and again tonight and again Sunday morning. Otherwise, partial clearing at times through Sunday. Highs, the mid-60s, lows near or in the low 40s. Northwest winds at 10 to 20 miles an hour. The chance of measurable rainfall, 30% today and again tonight. Currently, it's 46 degrees. And that's KOIN News at 1209. This is Chuck Knopf.